Wonderful. We are recording. Welcome. I'm so happy and excited that we're all here today for the first Coaching Mastery Practicum. So glad we're all here. I've really been looking forward to this day. My name, if you don't already know me, is Joanna Lindenbaum, and my website is joannalindenbaum.com. And the reason why we're here today, the reason why I decided to put these practicums, these coaching mastery practicums together, is because as I've been looking around and seeing what's happening in the coaching industry and the transformational industry and the personal development industry and in the leadership industry, what I've been seeing for a while now is that there is so much emphasis and so much education on marketing, how to market yourself better, how to quote-unquote get more clients, how to be more seen. And all of that is wonderful. I teach a lot of those pieces myself, all of those pieces, in fact, to my clients. But what I have been noticing is that there's all of this emphasis on market, 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 and not enough emphasis on delivery. There's not enough emphasis on delivering quality results for your clients. There's not enough emphasis on leveling up your coaching skills and your communication skills and your ability to move and transform your clients, no matter what work you do. And the truth is, I've seen this for myself in my own business over many, many years, as well as so many of the women that I've helped, is that all of the marketing is great, but if you don't partner the marketing with quality results and quality delivery, then it's really hard to grow your business. The best way to grow your business, the best way to receive referrals and repeat business is through results. And, you know, what I've heard from many, many people and I've seen when clients first come to me is that there really is this dirty little secret in the transformation industry and in the leadership industry. Dirty little secret is that people, practitioners, are really scared that their clients aren't satisfied and really scared that their clients aren't getting movement and results. And then here's the other thing. All of these industries, coaching industry at the top, they're all getting really crowded, right? So there's a new coach or healing practitioner that's cropping up like every 90 seconds. And the more crowded the industry gets and then the less quality control there is, what happens is it gets harder and harder then to magnetize clients if you're not delivering the best of the best. So one of my sacred missions, and for sure, my mission in putting together this practicum for you today is to support individuals who are really committed to mastery of your coaching skills, of your communication skills. My mission is to support people who are committed to being the best of the best at what you do and to delivering transformational results for your clients and your audiences and your students. So the way it's going to work today, I'm guessing that we're going to be on the line for about 45 to 60 minutes. We'll see how it goes. And what I'm going to be doing is for the first part of the call, I'm going to have a volunteer coaching client, if you will. And we're going to coach together. I'm not sure how long I'm going to coach her, probably anywhere from between 15 and 25 minutes. And I'm going to model for you my coaching skills. And then from there, once we finish that coaching portion of the call, what I'm going to do next is I'm going to break down what I did. We're going to take a look at why I made certain coaching decisions that I made, why I asked certain questions, why I took things in certain directions. And you'll have an opportunity to also share and participate. I'll be looking for you to share and participate because it's going to be hard for me to take notes as I'm coaching our volunteer in real time on, you know, how I'm doing what. So, you know, I'll be looking to you to pull out some of the pieces. I'll definitely be pulling out pieces, and then we'll also have time for Q&A at the end. So with all of that, let's jump right in. And our volunteer today, her name is Wendy, and I'm going to take you off mute, Wendy. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little nervous. It's the first time we're doing the practicum.
This is awesome. I'm excited, A, to be coached, and B, to learn.
Wonderful. I'm so glad that you volunteered. So glad. And just so you know, Wendy and everyone on the line, I have a little bit of a head cold today, so hopefully I'm not going to sneeze as we're moving forward. But if I do, apologies in advance. So, Wendy, before we jump in, just give us just a, like, really brief intro on who you are, where you live, what you do, more for fun than for anything else, but just so that we all know who you are.
No problem. I'm Wendy Petrikoff, and I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I have been working with parents and helping give them tools and skills to raise great, responsible kids for probably the last 8 years or so. Recently, I've started calling myself a parenting coach. And I love, I absolutely am passionate about parenting, and I love, love working with people one-on-one and in small groups.
Beautiful, and you are so good at what you do. It's amazing to watch you.
Thank you.
So let's get started. And tell me, Wendy, what is it that you really want to receive from the coaching today? What do you want to walk away with?
So I really am looking to leave a little more empowered. I feel like I'm on the verge of some really great things with my business. And I really want to be able to kind of focus that and hone in on what I need to be doing and put that, like, that sense of empowerment behind it to help lift me to that next level.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Tell me a little bit, what are the things that you're on the verge of right now?
So I started a new program fourth quarter of 2016, and it's online, and it's really my first move and foray into online, and it's been amazing. I am in love with this new program that I put together with your help and the help of your coaches, and it's kick ass. I love it. So I am offering my second session. It actually filled up, and I have all the clients are from Charlotte, and I have this notion that I know you agree with me that I need to take it broader, and, you know, with social media and Facebook and all that, I really can, but I feel really stymied. I feel resistant to being that big. And broad, I think it scares the daylights out of me in some senses, but I see this program really growing, and I see this program really benefiting people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So first of all, yay on filling your second session and on being so excited about it. I'm so happy to hear it. And I also hear the fear, and you used the word empowered twice earlier. I really hear the desire to feel really empowered as you go bigger and broader. So you said that when you think about going bigger and broader beyond Charlotte, that it scares the living daylights out of you. What are you scared of?
I'm scared of a lot of things. I think, you know, just sort of being seen. I'm scared of, like, time. Will I be able to manage it? It feels like really unknown, and it also feels like I'm sort of a private person. I'm kind of a quiet person, so it feels very public and exposed also.
Yeah, got it. Okay, so I'm hearing there's actually sort of three fears underneath the bigger fear here, and just tell me if I'm getting this right. So there's this fear of being seen, because going bigger and broader means that you're going to go public, you're going to be exposed, and you're a private person.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this fear of time and, you know, will you be able to manage everything? And then there's this fear of the unknown, stepping into some, you know, outside of Charlotte, you haven't really done that with your marketing before. So there's this fear of stepping into the mystery. Am I getting all of that right?
100%.
Okay, so we'll go further into each of those in a moment. But before we do, you said you want to feel empowered. Can you define that? Like, when you say that you want to feel empowered about going bigger and broader, what does that mean? What would that look like for you to feel empowered about it?
I think there would be more of a level of excitement of reaching outside of my market.
Mm-hmm.
that I currently don't necessarily have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just feeling good about it from the core, like I can manage it and handle it. I want to feel like it's a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does, and I want just to make sure that we're both totally clear on it. So how will you know if you're excited about it? How will you know if you feel good about it from your core? And how will you know if it's a good fit?
You always ask such good questions, Joanna.
Mm-hmm.
How will I know? I think there will be an ease to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it will feel, you know, not necessarily not frightening, but I think it will feel easeful, like,
yeah.
Yep, I'm here and I'm ready.
Yeah. I heard, you didn't say the word confidence, but that's a word that just popped up as you were describing before, is that you'd feel really confident about it.
Yeah, uh-huh. I would feel confident and good and sort of like own it and have that power from the empowerment.
Awesome. So take a moment, actually, and I want you to just, I always find it helpful to understand in my body how I want to feel. So we'll come back to the fears in a moment, but I want to stick with the empowerment just for another moment here. Take a moment, close your eyes, and feel what it feels like. As far as you know right now, what it feels like to be easeful and to own it and for it to feel good from your core and to feel empowered. Let's see if you can get a body feeling around that.
I get one right away.
Yep. What is it?
It's the knot in my stomach goes slack.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And I feel like, yeah,
the
breath is easier. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's what we're going for here, is when you take action in your business to go bigger and broader beyond Charlotte, for you to be able to breathe easier and for that knot in your stomach to go slack. And
that would be amazing.
Yeah. And one thing I just want to point out is, like, it was pretty easy, actually, for you to get there pretty quickly right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So we know it's right there under the surface for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so let's take a look at these fears and see if we can just open them up a little bit more. So when it comes to the fear of being seen and being exposed, what's the belief that's hanging out right underneath that fear?
There really is like an irrational fear of opening up to opening myself, you know, and I'll put it in the context right now of all the political stuff that's going on. Mm-hmm. You're never going to see me raving politically on Facebook. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is a really uncomfortable place to be. And
what's the belief behind that?
I don't like the confrontation of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to be laid out there.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Totally, totally. And
I don't want to be exposed.
Mm-hmm. How come?
Let's go deeper.
Why? What are you scared might happen if you were exposed?
I'm fearful that it will make me feel anxious. It will increase my worry. Just sort of in general, and I'll share one really tiny experience. I posted a video with myself and my 14-year-old daughter, and it was a cute video about what it's like to have a parent who's a parenting coach, and she was adorable. And a really creepy guy posted a really creepy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing ever happened. Nothing ever came of it. But that gives me so much anxiety and worry. And I spend a lot of time worrying about the what ifs before I post something.
Mm-hmm. And where do you know the worry from? Like where? Because I think you said it yourself. Like it's irrational, right? You know that nothing is mm-hmm. going to happen. But what I'm hearing is like there's this. The predominant energy in here is worry, like worry, worry, worry. So is that a pattern in your life? Where do you know that?
Yes, clearly. Yeah, my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety and worry is a pattern, and shutting down and not exposing keeps that safe
mm-hmm.
and protected.
So this is really, this is way bigger than going bigger and broader in your business. This sounds to me like this comes from a sense of worry and anxiousness and needing to protect your vulnerability that's been with you for a really long time. Am I getting that right?
Mm-hmm.
If you think back or even just sense back, what event or series of events brought this into being, this deep, deep need to protect yourself and worry about protecting yourself?
I don't know. Will you ask me that one more time?
Yep. What event or series of events in your past brought about this dynamic, you know, birthed this dynamic for you around this worrying and worrying if you're going to be protected or not? When did
it's been going on for the majority, most of my life since I was a teenager. So it's been a long, long series of events, but nothing traumatic, not one event at all,
mm-hmm.
just a really deep learned behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to be quiet than it is to put myself out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. So we just hit on the belief underneath the fear. It's easier to be quiet than to put yourself out there.
Mm-hmm. Safer.
So, mm-hmm. So every time you begin to think about going bigger and broader with your message, boom, this really old belief comes up. It's easier and safer to be quiet. And not only that, but that belief, Wendy, isn't coming from your mature adult woman self. It's the voice of your teenage self.
That's a big aha moment.
How come? What are you seeing here?
I just, you know, to think that my adult self could do it differently than my teenage self feels very like, really, I'm still hanging on to this stuff.
Yeah. Because my sense, and you could disagree with this, so tell me honestly, my sense is that adult Wendy totally gets that she can be seen and she's going to be okay. She's not going to get hurt. It's just that teenage Wendy has this deep belief that she is in real danger if she isn't quiet. If she's
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. That, and the danger still sometimes feels real to me as an adult, but I don't believe it yet.
Mm-hmm. So, like, what are the skills or wisdom that adult Wendy has that teenage Wendy didn't have that can allow her to be seen and make it out okay, make it out more than
yeah.
okay?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think I always believed that conflict and confrontation were bad and dangerous. And adult Wendy can look at that and say, you know, great learning comes from conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't all have to agree on everything. And the world would be such a horrible, boring place if we did, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And let's even take it into the context of your brilliance and your expertise.
Okay.
What would you say to a parent that you were coaching who's saying, like, I'm just so scared of having confrontation and conflict at home?
Yeah, I mean, confrontation and conflict in some ways is, you know, I'm thinking of teenagers specifically because they're generally the most confrontational of our kids during different stages, but a teenager is working a lot out during that conflict and confrontation, and there's a lot of learning that's going on, especially for the child.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily bad, and that belief is really just outdated, and it doesn't serve me at all.
Yeah, I'm so glad you can see that. So then based on all of this, what's a new belief around being seen or conflict and confrontation or you know, being in public? What's a new belief that wants to begin to emerge here, one that's going to serve you much better?
I want to believe that I can be an honest thought leader, and that even if it causes some conflict, that it's okay. That may or may not be my ideal client, or I may learn something new from it, that there is more to it than just that fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, is it, I can be an honest thought leader, and I want to make this like a little more succinct for you, but I want to make sure it's your words. So tell me if this resonates. Conflict is part and parcel of being an honest thought leader, and I know that I'm safe no matter what.
Mm.
How does that feel?
Feels really good.
Okay, I'm going to say it one more time, and I want you to write it down. Confrontation is part and parcel of being an honest thought leader, and I know that I'm safe no matter what. So just take a moment with that. Would you change any words? Did we get it? Did we hit it on the head? Or is there anything that we want to shift in terms of what you really want to move towards?
No, I think it's right on. And I really, especially like that second sentence, that I know that I am safe no matter what. And for me, that's a really big shift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Why is that a big shift? Why is that so important? What are you seeing?
I don't think I felt safe.
Yeah.
Spewing whatever it is I want to spew. Or I've taken it to the extreme and it's been so safe it's kind of vanilla.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Good. Good. So here's the way that when new beliefs are emerging, here's the way they work. It's like at first, you've gotten so much more awareness now, and we know that you want to work towards that. But if we're really honest, you don't totally believe this yet, right? That you're safe no matter what. But like,
no.
We see openings now that can get you there, right?
Uh-huh.
So the next step then is, let me ask you this. Let's pretend for a moment that you believed this down to your tippy toes, right? Let's pretend for a moment that you believe that you're safe no matter what. If right now you believe that you are safe no matter what are three things that you would be doing differently? Well, two to three.
Okay. I would have done it in the session right before I had this call. Had a very resentful half of a couple really giving the other half a hard time, and not being able to. I would have called her on it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I would have called her on that.
Yeah. Calling clients out in session.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I would actually just, I mean, it sort of boils down to I'd be able to speak my truth.
Mm-hmm. Well, give me an example. So in session was one. Where else? Speak your truth.
You know, on social media.
Uh-huh.
It wouldn't be so watered down.
Uh-huh. It wouldn't be so vanilla, like you said before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Anything else you'd be doing differently right now? These are biggies. You don't need more, but just want to check.
Yeah, I mean, that it also translates to interpersonal relationships with probably extended family.
Yeah.
I'd be able to manage conflict better and not just, you know, throw up my hands and walk away.
Beautiful. So this is the gateway to feeling more empowered in going bigger and broader. Can you see that?
Yes.
So my homework for you is to actually start doing these things. I want you in every single one of your client sessions moving forward, I want you to commit to calling a client out no matter what. To speaking your truth in those sessions, to speaking your truth in social media, and to speaking your truth with your extended family. By taking those actions, it's going to allow you to move more and more into the belief of I can be an honest thought leader and I'm safe no matter what, and
mm-hmm.
that's going to allow you to go big and broad.
Mm-hmm.
How does all of that feel?
Scary and amazing.
I like that. I like scary and amazing. I always say I want things to feel a little bit scary. If they don't feel scary, then they don't count. I know you manage the time piece and the management piece for the sake of this call, because I want to make sure that we have time to break things down. We won't go there, but do you feel like you've got stuff to work on?
Yes, thank you.
Awesome. So before we end this coaching part, tell me, what are you really taking for yourself from the coaching that we just did?
So I'm really just looking back at some of those old beliefs and how really they have tied my hands for such a long time. And I'm picturing it, you know, like I'm breaking out of the bonds, you know, that bondage from those old beliefs, and that I can move forward, and in my way, you know, it'll be baby steps getting there, but I can start to take those steps and like you said, cultivate that awareness and just remind myself that I am safe,
yes,
no matter what.
Yes, yeah. And that's another homework piece, is like write that down, put it wherever you need to put it, speak it out loud whenever you can, right? Like really begin to create that new neural pathway for that belief.
Yeah, I definitely see that. That's like a new mantra, so.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much, Wendy, for being our volunteer.
Thanks, Joanna.
You're
welcome.
It was
awesome, and now I get to learn more.
So, if you're okay, I actually want to ask you a couple of process questions, but if you feel like you still need to kind of sit with what we just did, I can come back to you.
No, we can go for it.
Okay, great. So share with me and with everyone on the call, like what stood out for you in the coaching, you know, as the client, what really worked for you?
Well, I really always like how you reflect. That always makes me feel heard, and like we're moving the same direction. And one of the other things that I feel like you do so beautifully that I noticed really a lot at the beginning of the call, and something I'd like to do more in my work, is really setting that intention at the beginning. And the way you lead that felt really, really good. And then just the way you sort of winnow it down, asking questions and, you know, really getting me to think and look a little more deeply.
Yeah, good.
And see what's under the surface.
Awesome. I'm so glad to hear it. And I think you shared a couple of pieces that are really important for everyone. So I'm just going to pull those out a bit more. So one of the things that Wendy just talked about in coaching is the importance of reflection, right? So I'm sure you guys noticed I asked a lot of questions. You know, I brought new ideas in for Wendy, all of that. But the other thing that I did a lot of was that I reflected, and oftentimes I used the same exact words that she used. Sometimes I added my own, sometimes I didn't, but I was continually reflecting back to Wendy what she said. The reason why this is so powerful is, number one, she said it helped her feel seen and heard, right? So that's number one. What everybody in this world wants is to feel seen and heard. When they feel seen and heard, there's more of a trust that's built between you and your client. They feel like this is important. They're more willing to invest, and they're more willing to be vulnerable. So that's one of the important reasons to use a lot of reflection when you coach. The other reason why reflection is so important when you're coaching or really communicating with anyone, communicating with your team, communicating with your kids, whatever it is because it allows the person that you're talking to hear what they said and take it in a different way. It opens up awareness for your client when they can hear what they've just said. ahead. Another thing that Wendy spoke about were the intentions, the way we started the sessions, the intentions that we set. I'm always very, very conscious to set a strong container for the call. To, you know, if you guys notice, I ask, what do you want to receive by the time we're done? Where do you want to be? You know, what do you want to walk away with, right? I always start off with a question like that, because or else it's like we could just go off in 10 different directions and be scattered and not really get, you might get some insights in the conversation, but not really get to where the client wants to be by the end of the call. So it sets a really strong container to get really clear what wants to happen by the end of the call. What does the client want? All right, I want to thank you, Wendy. I'm gonna put you back on mute, and I would love to hear from some other folks on the call. We've got so many people on the call today. It's let me put us into lecture mode here. So start to raise your hand. What else did you notice about the coaching? What stood out to you? Natalie.
Actually, I sort of pushed start to before I realized this was just a question about what I noticed, but I did have a question. Can I ask a question?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay, so and going back to the intentions in the beginning of the call and what do you want to receive from this call, I'm wondering, you know, do you use that generally when you're speaking with clients who you've been working with for a long time, or is this just something for a new client or for an enrollment call? I don't remember you using that on our calls.
Yeah, I do it in different ways. So it's a little more subtle when I've been working with someone for a long time and I know that they're focused and all of that, but I'll still, you know, I'll still set that intention. I'll, you know, oftentimes, Natalie, I don't know if you notice, I'll say, okay, you've mentioned this, this, and this on your focus, your preform report. Where would you like to start, right? So
got
I do have
it,
a little bit of the, from the pre-coaching, for everyone on the call, when I work with clients regularly, they fill out a report for me before we go into our session. It helps them focus. It begins to start setting the intention. So we've actually done that in a way when you fill that out.
I see.
If you ever notice
get
whenever
it.
You don't fill something yes. out beforehand, I will always start our call with what is it that you want to receive.
I got it. It's because I always fill out the form.
Uh-huh.
Always. Or
same
at least I send
always.
You an email. Okay. So, but that's really helpful because I find that a lot of my clients don't fill out the form fully, or they just send it in the last minute, or but that's helpful for like if I don't have any pre-notes. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Glad you asked that question.
Okay, sure.
Okay, Renee. Hi.
Hi, Joanna. This has been amazing. I'm like taking so many notes. I really noticed, and this is something I struggle with, is probably why it really stood out for me, is, you know, like you asked her at the beginning, which is like reflecting back in my notes, you know, to list like the three kind of fears she had, right? And then how you kind of allowed her to feel heard and you reflected back, but yet at the same time kind of like put a pin in it in order to still flesh out, like, when you say you want to feel empowered, what do you mean by that, right? So that you know, is really helpful for me too, like, and I think probably helpful for Wendy if I'm going to guess, right? Because sometimes we use those words and we don't really stop to think like, well, what do I mean by when I say I want to feel empowered? But like, I thought that was so helpful to kind of set the frame for like, okay, this is what we're going for here. Now in that context, to explore the fears, rather than like what I always tend to do is like, those are your fears, let's just jump right in, right? And then, and so that was like a huge missing piece for me.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you noticing that and bringing it up here. It's important on so many levels. So it's one tool that I use a lot in coaching is asking for definitions, particularly if someone's used a word more than once. or if I can tell that it's really important to them. And I ask for definitions for a couple of reasons. So number one, for the reason that you said, so that my client, you know, because we do use these words and this lingo so often, and then it loses meaning. So one is to really help the client know what it means for them. The other reason, and so that we have that as a working definition for the work that we're doing. The other reason why I oftentimes ask for definitions is because of filters. So for me, empowerment might mean something very different than for Wendy. And I want to make sure that I'm working and sensing into things and asking questions and supporting her from what it means for her, not what it means for me. Awesome.
Yeah, that was great.
I'm so glad. Wonderful. Who else? Star two. I'd love to hear either any questions or anything else that you notice that you want to bring forward in terms of the coaching. Well, there are a couple pieces that I'll pull out, and then I'm going to share some other important information with you guys. A couple things. So number one, you know, in that definition of empowerment, did you notice that I asked Wendy how it felt in her body? I really always like to bring the body in and the five senses in when I can. And the reason is because we don't only learn and process and get new things from a mental level. Like the mental and the intellectual is so important, but when we can feel something in our body, we can make a body memory of that feeling, and then we can access it so much easier. So because Wendy was going for empowerment, I wanted her to know how that felt in her body so she could recognize it, but also so that she could literally make a memory for herself in her body of what that feels like and access it more quickly. The other piece for now, I mean, there's so many different pieces we could pull out, but the other piece for now that I want to pull out is the work that we did around the belief itself. And, you know, underneath all that belief work that we did, there was a general framework. And the general framework is that underneath a fear is always some kind of held belief, right? There's a held belief that's causing the fear. And if there's a held belief that's causing the fear, there's also always a new belief that can be put in its place that will allow for the fear to dissipate. So just naming the held belief creates awareness. We went deeper into that awareness, right? Because awareness begins to really loosen things up. And then even before we got to the new belief, I pointed out to Wendy the difference between her adult self and her teenage self, right? Because these fears and these beliefs, they're usually not a product of our adult selves. They usually came to be when we were younger. And what happens for so many of us when we get stuck in our fears is that we're not our 30-year-old self, our 40-year-old self, our 70-year-old self. We're like our 3-year-old self or our 14-year-old self who forgets that we have these other resources available to us as adults. Who forgets that we know so much more, right? We have so much more ability. We don't need to abide by the code of this fear or this belief anymore. So I pointed that out to her, and then that made way to begin to think about a new belief. Okay. Well, so much more, but I want to just share some last pieces with you now, and of course in future practicums we'll go deeper into other skills. So a couple of things. Number one, I know so many of the folks on the call today are part of the Facilitation and Coaching Mastery Facebook group. If you are, I'd love for you to go and just tell me what you liked about the call today, what you received, what your takeaway is, And if you're not already part of the group and you want to be part of the group, I give a lot of tips out in that group tools. It's a new group we just started last week. It's called Facilitation and Coaching Mastery. It's you can find it on Facebook. I'd love for you to go there. I'll be posting the recording in that Facebook group. That's the only way to get it. And then the other piece is to give you guys a heads up, if you want more information like this and you want also support in facilitating groups, you know, for events or workshops or retreats or rituals, on March 16th I have an upcoming 3-hour workshop. It's a facilitation mastery workshop, and during those 3 hours I'm going to go in depth into all of the foundational skills that you need to create transformational events where your groups are basically rock the house, where you create amazing results and community and shifts for the people that come either to your 90-minute workshop or your 4-day retreat, your ritual circle, whatever it is. You can find more information about that workshop at joannalindenbaum.com/ritual workshop. We did this in 45 minutes. I'm so pleased. I'm so grateful for Wendy. Thank you, and for everybody's energy today. I hope you enjoyed this call. Let me know on our Facebook group, and I'm wishing you a wonderful rest of your day. Bye.